go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We are having a fascinating and, I think, very insightful conversation with J. Michael Waller, a professor by training and avocation. Today, a senior reporter with the American Media Institute. He is the author of numerous books and countless articles and essays, the co-author, most recently, of Meeting the Ideological Challenge of Islamism, How to Combat Modern Radical Islam. And Mike, we've been discussing how not to combat it, which is by submitting to it or signaling submission, either of the kind that would be abject retreat and accepting defeat at the hands of the violent guys, but also making endless accommodations to those who are engaging in a more stealthy kind of jihad. This woman, Malik, who was involved in this San Bernardino attack, she should have tripped a lot of red flags, as you say, didn't. Finish your thought about what that means in this particular incident, but also what it tells us about the quality and reliability of the vetting we're doing more generally at the moment, presumably with respect to a lot of other people President Obama is determined to bring here.
Well, yes, first, the law of the land is that you are not allowed as a foreigner to come here if you seek the subversion or overthrow of the Constitution of the United States. That's just the law, and it's been that way for ages. Yet those doing the vetting completely ignore those who subscribe to Sharia law, even though they, too, advocate the subversion or overthrow of our Constitution and our constitutional way of life. Just by definition, anyone seeking our overthrow should be banned from this country because that's what the law says.
But it does require you to connect the dots between what is fundamentally, as you've said, Mike, a totalitarian ideology, a political, military, legal program, not a religion, though it's got a patina of it, and those who are trying to implement it here, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's a part of the questioning. Remember during the Cold War, everybody, even Americans, when we're flying back from another country on the card that you fill out on the plane just before you land, there was a little box saying, are you a member of the Communist Party? But that was this way up until the 1990. And so similarly, there should still be that box. Do you subscribe to any ideology that seeks the overthrow of our Constitution?
As I recall, Congressman Barney Franks was the prime mover behind the effort to remove that very, very important question from the immigration cards. And it raises the question, why aren't we asking for that kind of information again, if not about communism, certainly about any other totalitarian ideology, including Islamic supremacism?
Well, it's the same reason that some of the neighbors of the terrorists in San Bernardino said they didn't go to the authorities. They saw suspicious activity. They thought these people were going to cause trouble or even some sort of horrific atrocity, but they didn't want to come forward because they didn't want to look like they were engaged in profiling. And it's this type of repression of any expression of reporting wrongdoing or suspected wrongdoing that is part of the civilizational jihad. Because what they do is they work through the system to say, oh, you're just a bigot, you're just a racist, you're just a hater.
An Islamophobe.
Yeah, an Islamophobe, right. And before it was a Russophobe. The old communists, they coined the term Russophobia. So that any critics of the Soviet government, it was just because we were motivated by hatred of the Russian people. But now you even have law enforcement officers from the local level all the way up to the top levels of the FBI subscribing to this idea that we can't question these people because we don't want to look like we're profiled.
Well, and Mike, it raises this question of Loretta Lynch most recently saying she'll prosecute people if they fall afoul of this guideline, such as it is. And of course, we also had Hillary Clinton, as you know, back in 2011, as I recall, announcing in Istanbul as part of a conversation with Islamic supremacists about how to enforce something called Human Rights Council Resolution 1618 through shaming and peer pressure. This would all seem to be not only civilization jihad at work, but evidence of our submission to it.
And not only that, it's being done by an American Secretary of State and presidential candidate in a foreign country, which is unprecedented. I mean, can you imagine if a previous Secretary of State went to the Soviet Union to promote communist principles and denounce his own country, that the Secretary would be either fired by the President or impeached by the Congress?
Mike, let me ask you, we're going to turn in our last segment to a different topic, Latin America, but I want to just ask you quickly in closing on this very important conversation about the Muslim Brotherhood, its doctrine, strategy, and operations and vulnerabilities, as you describe them in your new book, Meeting the Ideological Challenge of Islamism. How would you recommend we exploit the vulnerabilities of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, first, there are a lot of them. First, you would go to the sponsors of the Muslim Brotherhood and say, if you want to survive, you will cease and desist and you will help us destroy it. This means going to the Saudi king. And whoever is in control of the Saudi kingdom. This means going to the Emir of Qatar, but we won't do it because we have a military base there. So we're just looking the other way completely. So until we just, and this can be done with a simple phone call from the president, nothing more. Doesn't cost money, doesn't require an act of Congress. It's just, we just need a president who will do that. Second, you need to go after the other individual sponsors of the Muslim Brotherhood the same way you would the terrorists, and that is to treat them as targets. And once you make some of these individuals as targets, the rest of them are going to generally back off because they have too much to lose by continuing. And this doesn't necessarily mean make them a military target, but this makes them make them a target for cyber attack. Just to deplete their bank accounts, deplete their assets, do it through cyber attacks. We certainly have the capabilities. Because we can do this, because the Muslim Brotherhood is out there to destroy our Constitution.
By the way, they actually explicitly described in the secret plan that was providentially discovered back in 2004, as you know, Michael, the explanatory memorandum on the general strategic goal of the group, as they call it, very, very categorically says they're about destroying Western civilization from within. And Mike, to the extent that we recognize the Muslim Brotherhood as the enemy and its Sharia agenda as the purpose that they're seeking to destroy us, to replace our Constitution with it, this would presumably mean that it should be recognized, as Senator Ted Cruz has suggested, as a terrorist organization and its operations in this country rolled up, should they not?
That's right. And this is where we have some fantastic allies, like President al-Sisi of Egypt, who overthrew a Muslim Brotherhood regime in his country, and who systematically are ripping the organization apart in Egypt because that's where it was founded and that's where it's the strongest. And then we have friends in the United Arab Emirates who, although they have their own version of Sharia that they live under, they don't seek to destroy us because we are their protection. And they have designated not only the Muslim Brotherhood, but groups like CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, as terrorist organizations themselves. This is an Islamic regime and an Arab country that's doing this. And we have, say, the Indonesians, and we have even elements of the Saudi government who, even, they're not strategic friends of ours, but they're tactical allies against the Muslim Brotherhood. We could be exploiting this, and we're not.
If only we were clear about it and pursuing it with the kind of self-preservation in mind that is needed here. I know, Michael, there's been some backing and filling in many of the places that you've just talked about, but in principle, there is stuff to work with there. I think there's no question. We have to pause for another final break in our very important hour-long conversation with Dr. J. Michael Waller. When we come back, we're going to turn to another of the areas of his expertise, Latin America, and some very important developments there of late. That and more, straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.